So the Home Affairs Department gazetted a new green paper for the Marriages Act on the 4th of May 2021. And present legislation on marriages in South Africa failed to recognize same-sex marriages, certain religious marriages and polygamous marriages as lawful marriages. So within polygamy, we have polygyny. With the exclusion of polyandry. So over the past couple of weeks, I mean, conversations have raged in this country about polyandry. So this is where a woman is allowed to marry more than one man at the same time, whereas polygyny is recognized in South Africa, which means men can have more than one wife. And so members of the public, of course, have been engaged in this issue. We have until the end of June, the 30th of June, to make our comments. And the green paper, in fact, is so much more than polyandry. It's so much more. Because part of what the green paper also puts forward are proposals to recognize Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, and Rastafarian marriages. Now that we're done with the hysteria around polyandry, it's also important that we take another dive into this green paper. And for this hour, we're going to be looking at proposals to recognize other marriages within the green paper. I really would love your comments on this one, because what it does is that it says that all marriages need to be provided for within the secular legal system in South Africa. And thereby, it protects women and children. And we'll unpack that throughout this hour. And I really want to hear from you, from your experience, if you have been affected by a religious marriage, for instance, if you are in a religious marriage, were in a religious marriage, grew up in a household where the marriage system that brought that union together was a religious marriage. And what were those consequences? What were the challenges? What were the difficulties? I'd really love to hear from you as we unpack this with Shahida Hussein. And she is she's the director of conveyancing and property law at Gwina Attorneys. And she joins us for this hour as we take a closer look at the impact and the significance of these marriages also being looked at. Shahida, good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Azania. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to all the listeners.
You know, I think before this government paper came in, this green paper was put out. In fact, I know that as a station, we would often get really detailed emails from some of our listeners who are in religious marriages, or who are experiencing the fallout of certain religious marriages, also looking to ventilate some of the issues pertaining to religious marriages. And when we look at recent history, the protection and recognition of the rights of women in marriages is undoubtedly overdue. For instance, we looked at, not too long ago, we saw the judgment condemning the discriminatory civil marriages law, which was passed in the 1980s, which marginalized potentially 400,000 black women as far as the Matrimonial Property Act was concerned. So parts of that law were deemed unconstitutional and invalid. So it's certainly time for the rights of all women, regardless of religion, race, orientation, and identity be protected.
Yes, that's correct, Azania. As it is right now, women and children are being discriminated against. Mm-hmm. The current laws don't make provision for all types of marriages, especially Hindu marriages, as you said, Rastafarian marriages, certain customary marriages, they are all excluded. And what the result of this is, it's that on the dissolution of the marriage, these women and children don't have any assets, there's also issues not only on the dissolution of marriage, it extends to interstate estates, you know, where children have to inherit. It runs to maintenance law. It has an effect on all these laws because the marriage hasn't been recognized in terms of South African law.
Mm.
In particular as well, we have these like polygamous marriages in Muslim marriages, and we've seen it over and over again where the husband has like four wives, and he continues to have these marriages without their consent. And these women and children are left destitute.
So we'll unpack some of these areas as we go along in our conversation. So South Africa has a number of pieces of legislation that govern marriages. So let's start by looking at them and looking at what and who they exclude.
Okay, we have the Marriage Act 25 of 1961. Mm. And that was only marriages between monogamous couples for opposite, and they had to be opposite sex couples. So this excluded same-sex couples, for instance, and also polygamous marriages. Thereafter, what we did see, the law was then improved somewhat, mm-hmm. and thereafter we had the Civil Union Act of 2006. Now, this act included monogamous partnerships for both same and opposite sex marriages. But this did not take into account polygamous marriages or transgender marriages. So that was an issue with the Civil Union Act. Then the South African government introduced the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act in 1998. And this allowed for polygamous marriages, but it was only for African indigenous marriages. And some communities in these black marriages were excluded, like the Khoisan marriages. Mm. Even Muslim marriages were not included in this particular act. So this also needs to be now dealt with in terms of the new Marriage Act, which the state wishes to enact, hopefully in 2023.
So let's look at the levels of defenselessness then that it's left a lot of people in. How defenseless, without protection, have many people been in the past then?
Okay, so for the Hindu marriages, like a divorce is taboo in their custom. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't have a registered marriage within their religious sect, nor could they have a marriage registered in terms of South African law. And it has left them defenseless. There was nothing further that they could do. Mm. But in terms of Muslim marriages, there were lots of court cases opposing this type of opposing this the lack of registration, and with court cases and precedents, there was law implemented that recognized certain categories of benefits that were granted to these Muslim marriages. Mm-hmm. And so this was to the detriment of the other sectors in society that hadn't had these court cases.
And I was looking at Rastafarian marriages as well, Shahida, and I find that they also are they have their own systems, but because of the variations across the world, there isn't one particular way of doing things as far as Rastafarian marriages are concerned. And so to some extent, even there, to a great extent, I should say, there would be a need, of course, to have some sort of legal protection. There's a WhatsApp that's come in. It says Greek Orthodox marriages have to have a civil one too. Why don't these other types of marriages not recognized get married in court as well to get at least something legal? Are you able to respond to that? the option of having a civil marriage and what the distinction is? A civil union, rather.
Right. Certain sections of society prefer not to have a registered marriage. They would prefer a partnership or a civil union. And that is allowed in terms of South African law. So in terms of the Civil Union Act, so that allows them to have protection, a certain protection in terms of South African law. If Greek marriages are not authorized or they are not allowed to marry in terms of their religious customs, yes, it should be allowed in terms of a civil union, in terms of the Marriage Act. If they proceed with all the requirements as indicated of the Marriage Act, then they are allowed to register this marriage.
Yes.
However, if all the requirements of the Marriage Act are not concluded, then this marriage will not be recognized.
Right.
It includes both the parties must be available. The marriage officer should be legally recognized in terms of by the state. There must be two witnesses. He must provide a certificate recognizing this marriage and so forth.
Yes. But her question is, why, if a Greek Orthodox marriages are going the civil union route, why don't the other religious marriages do the same in order to secure that legal protection?
I think a civil union is a marriage. I'm not sure. I will have to think about it a little bit further of why. I think it is an option that they, like a religious marriages, could proceed on this basis. However, also, like, religious marriages have their own requirements as well.
Right.
So it will still mean that they are forced to recognize another type of a marriage which is not in part of their religion. And many religions would not allow this. They want their own religions and customs to be recognized as such, because this is a multiracial, multilingual country, and we are supposed to live in harmoniously, taking into account all our differences as well.
No, absolutely, I hear you, and I think that my question as well is, religious prescripts will not be changed by a secular legal system, right? So we're likely, of course, to have areas of conflict, of serious conflict, that will play themselves out. And I'm curious now about the sort of submissions that are being made ahead of the 30th of June, how much resistance there might be to bringing religious, or to recognizing religious marriages. What does the recognition entail? What does it mean practically? What does the recognition mean?
Well, for traditional African marriages, what they are looking at is perhaps bringing in the chiefs to perhaps solemnize marriages, because they are more available to the people in the outlying areas. Those are the types of recognition they would like to give. They would further allow different sects of society to have their own marriage offices, not only marriage offices as they have been appointed by the state. And in terms of at present, a marriage officer, you know, was not forced to
administer
to marry someone of the same sex marriage, and all these types of changes are required to be recognized because of its discriminatory nature.
All right. I've got to take headlines. It's now 1:30. We've got to take headlines from the EWN desk to Eyewitness News to find out what the latest is. So let's see what is coming out of EWN. Here's Gladys Mutele.
You're with Azania Mosaka on 702.
It is now 21 minutes to 2 o'clock. Just before the headlines, before we took the latest in Eyewitness News, we had started a conversation with Shahida Hussein, the director of conveyancing and property law at Gwina Attorneys. And we were looking at the green paper on marriages that has been put forward, that was gazetted by Home Affairs in early May. And of course, the nation has been talking, and there was hysteria around the idea of polyandry happening in South Africa. The idea that a woman would be able to be allowed to marry more than one man at the same time, which completes the polygamy picture overall, because men in historically have been allowed to take more than one wife. So it would recognize polygamous marriages in their entirety. But what was not really interrogated was the other marriages, because the Green Paper also put forward proposals to recognize Hindu, Jewish, Muslim and Rastafarian marriages. And that really is an area that has not been considered adequately. But now that the hysteria around polyandry had died down, we thought to look at the proposal and how it recognized other marriages within the Green Paper. So we had invited Shahida, who had written a piece on her thoughts on this issue. And she unpacked, of course, the implications of interstate law and how often inheritance does not flow to the wife and the children if there was no will in religious marriages. And so that discriminated it really went against the rights of women and children. Particularly, they were left defenseless or in a defenseless position as a result of how certain parts of religious marriages are governed. But we kicked off that conversation with her, and I'm sure as you could hear, her piece was quite concise. It was very detailed, well-researched, very thorough. But as you could hear, she was extremely nervous, and that nervousness gradually built up. So from the time we took the headlines to completing our spots, we decided to not continue the conversation with her because it would simply be unfair to you. And of course, we need to recognize that not everybody would be proficient or comfortable enough on the radio. Maybe she thought she would be, but she proved to be extremely nervous. And so we have another guest on this issue, and that's Hopewell Satege. And Hopewell also joins us to talk about this very issue, to unpack the implications and the impact this would have on people married within religious marriages. Hopewell, thank you for your time this afternoon. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Sanya?
I'm very good, thank you. We had started to unpack the ways in which not all marriages are covered in South Africa or have adequate recognition in South Africa. Why has it become important to recognize religious marriages within the secular legal system?
So it boils down to the constitution and equality and right to religion and all those sort of things. So recently the Constitutional Court held that, you know, the government should put measures in place to recognize marriages, all sorts of marriages, including those of stem from religion.
In what ways were children and spouses prejudiced, particularly women prejudiced in religious marriages?
Particularly in marriages. The whole point that the government or the state recognized marriages, that it there's protection of sorts. So, for example, those people that are married, in terms of civilly, they can then go to court and lay a claim on their estate, for example, if they're married in community of property. Whereas if people are married in terms of Muslim rights, for example, they're not regarded as marriages for purposes in South Africa, and therefore they can lay on the estate, claim on the estate through the courts or through the state, as it were. Mm. So children and women are then left to be vulnerable, and that the state is not be able to come in to assist the most vulnerable. Yeah.
So, you know, as a legal practitioner, I remember when India announced, South Africa, or rather India, made an announcement that the triple talaq, which is an Arabic word to say divorce, and when said three times under certain conditions, it was enacting or saying that you are divorcing your wife. So India announced that the triple talaq would be illegal as a way of divorcing your wife. And there was a debate that raged here in South Africa because some felt that you cannot dictate how various practices in religions are carried out, that everyone has the right to practice their religious freedom, and that the government did what they were trying to do was change a fundamental law that has been in practice in this particular religion by, we're making an example, in Islam, for instance, for over 1,400 years. And so this is likely to bring about serious conflict, right, between the right to freedom of religion and, of course, rights that are deserved by each individual, that are recognized, you know, for each individual in this country.
Yeah, so that's exactly it. And that's the issue, is striking a balance between customs and a civil law on the other end. So to bring it close to home, polygamous marriage as an example of a conflict between civil marriages doesn't recognize polygamy, for example. You know, you can only marry one wife or one husband, as it were, where traditionally you can marry multiple wives, the husband, that is. So, then there was the issue of then equality, where if men can marry more than one, can marry more than wife, why can't the wife do the exact same thing? You know, so it's striking a balance between the two, and that's always a struggle. On the one end, custom, and then on the other, civil law, with the recognition of customary marriage act that is enforced now. It came after much debate, and there has been recent amendments that then recognize the equality of women in the said marriage, but it didn't come without debate.
Yes.
So there's going to be a whole lot of debate as well with this issue before the perfect balance is struck. Whether it's impossible to strike that balance is a different story. Yeah.
Because I was making the point that I don't foresee changes to religious prescripts or to religious practices due to changes in a secular legal system. So there would be some conflict along the way somewhere, and I think we will have interesting case law moving forward. But Hopewell, by its very implication, marriage recognizes it kind of confers certain rights to your spouse, right? When it comes to things like pension, medical aids, and so on, especially in community of property, when done in community of property. So that suggests that historically, some of these rights then that flow from marriage have been denied then to particularly women spouses in religious marriages.
So I suppose that's the whole point of the state recognizing certain marriages, is that they come in so as to come to the rescue of children and women who are mostly disadvantaged. There's no reason why people can't practice their custom or their religion, which we're finding at the moment. But the issue then comes in when they are not protected. That then becomes an issue. So that's why, in terms of the constitution, women and children the state has to come to play so that to protect them. And it's their right fundamentally in terms of the constitution, which is not necessarily recognized in terms of custom or religion. And it goes back to that whole point of striking a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but We know that the Constitution is a supreme law of South Africa, and so the Constitution has to then come to the rescue where it needs to.
Mm, so you're saying, would it trump religious prescripts and practices?
Well, so ultimately, the Constitution, I'd say, trumps everything. So you can practice your custom, you can practice your religious belief, but it has to be within the confines of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of the legislature then putting in laws in place which recognize that.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen to this voice note.
Hi, Zania. I've just been listening to your talk regarding the Green Paper on the Marriages Act. And I was wondering the same regarding the religious marriages and marriage offices and so. So the question is, in our church, the Lutheran Church, the pastor can marry a couple in church, and then it is taken in the register of a church.
Mm-hmm.
However, if he is actually registered as a marriage officer, that would mean we would have to apply, and then he writes an exam and gets a special number and a book that he's registered. And then he can also do the thing that is usually done in the courts for the marriages, the legal side, at the same time. So with traditional weddings and other religions and so on, it should be possible that the person officiating also gets registered as a marriage officer, and then you can do that thing as well. The other thing that I've got a problem with is that I'm not getting hold of Home Affairs, so I'm unable now to, if I apply for a pastor to be registered as a marriage officer, there's just no reply.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not possible to phone them, and all the other stories that apply to Home Affairs are applicable to this marriage officer section as well. If you could ask that, maybe I would appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the question there. Hopewell?
It's the state versus religion, for example. For an imam, if an imam is registered in terms of Islamic rights, if they registered as a marriage officer, then you can then be regarded as a marriage in terms of the Marriages Act. So the Marriages Act governs the consequences of the marriage, of a civil marriage.
Mm.
So only a marriage officer can then marry someone, and that marriage is be recognized, and the marriage certificate is then issued by Home Affairs. So if an imam is registered in terms of Islamic rights and you get married from that perspective, then your marriage will be a religious marriage, but it will also be recognized, and the marriage certificate will then be issued by the government as well.
Yeah, so religions with that, or those who carry out, who oversee these marriages would need to acquire marriage licenses.
So we need to register as a marriage officer.
Rather be registered, you're correct, Then I was looking at Rastafarian marriages, you know, and I was really hoping to hear from someone who may know a little bit more about marriages within Rastafarianism. And for instance, when a child is born, what I came across, at least, and I'm inviting any kind of more insight, is that they bless, when a child is born, they're blessed by an elder of the community during a session where there's drumming and chanting and prayer and so on. But the marriages, when it comes to marriage, there is no formal marriage structure. This is what I've read about Rastafarian marriages, that a man and a woman who live together are regarded as husband and wife, unless, of course, you know, it's a mother and a son and so on. But a man and woman who live together are regarded as husband and wife. So a marriage does not take place. If it doesn't take place, it is regarded as just a social occasion rather than a religious event. So there will be differences in practice. How does the law deal with these differences in practice across religious marriages?
So what you've mentioned, for example, with the Rastafarian marriage, if I can call it that, there's what we call a civil partnership. So you could find that people are not married, but they've been living together, husband and wife, for so many years that some form of protection has been given to the spouse, rather, if I can call it that. So then the person can then go to court on the basis that, look, I've been dependent on this particular person, so therefore I'm entitled to some form of maintenance from the estate. So if the male spouse, for example, passes, and then the wife, without being stereotypical, the wife then goes to court and say, look, I've been dependent on this person, so there was a civil partnership, and I'm entitled to certain rights or certain in terms of common law.
Okay. That's where it would fit in, or that's how it would be provided for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hopewell, there's an issue that came up a little bit earlier on, and I'm hoping that we could get more clarification on it, because same-sex marriages fall under the civil unions marriage. So in what way does a more comprehensive recognition of same-sex marriages, in what way is it addressed in this green paper?
So the paper essentially is trying to investigate whether South Africa can move to a point where one system of marriage is recognized. So there's different marriages depending. So as you pointed out, the Civil Union Act governs same-sex marriages. Recognition of customary marriages Act recognized customary marriage. So then the issue that the Green Paper is trying to investigate is, can we have a single system where a marriage is then recognized regardless of custom, religion, and all these sort of things. And so, I mean, whether that's even possible is a different story, because marriages come about depending on custom as a result of, like, a polygamous marriage, as it were, or same-sex marriage, where some certain religions still aren't able to officiate the marriages. So if one then regime is regarded or is put in place, you know, how you then put all those together under one legislation.
Sure. So what they're trying to do is make a quilt. Just stitch everything together into one.
One size fits all. And whether that's possible is, I suppose, that we need to decide on.
Yes, but what is the difference between a civil union and a marriage? That's one of the WhatsApps that's come in, because we talk civil union and we talk marriages. What's the distinction?
So essentially the distinction is that under the Marriages Act, only a male and a female can get married in terms of the Marriages Act, whereas the Civil Unions Act, it's same-sex couples or couples, male and a female. So essentially the only difference is that a same-sex couple can't get married in terms of the Marriage Act. They can only get married in terms of the Civil Unions Act.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the difference.
Yes. And one would say, what is the difference, though? Why can't they all be marriages? It just comes down to the wording of man and a woman.
So interesting. When the Civil Unions Act came about, when the consultations were had, the argument that certain factions, religious factions, said that, look, we recognize that, you know, the constitution, equality and all those sort of things, but the legislature did as a compromise, in inverted commas, was to say, look, we leave the Marriages Act for purposes of those that want to get married for their religious reason, and then we'll have a Civil Unions Act that recognizes same-sex marriages without necessarily, you know, forcing religion to then officiate marriages. So essentially it was a compromise of some sort to say that there's a piece of legislation for same-sex marriages.
Right.
So then it's interesting now to see that, you know, the investigation to see whether one legislation will be able to,
I think it's a commendable effort, an absolutely commendable effort to make sure that all rights are recognized adequately within the law.
Yeah.
Hopewell, thank you very much for your time.
Sure, not a problem, Maza.
Thank you. Hopewell Satege, and he is a director at Lawtons Africa.